So this morning, we continue our sermon series on Jesus Among Us. And let me just say one more thing. Is when I prepare these words, these messages, I hate to call them sermons, I find myself, the more I study and the more I try to go into the scripture and the words for the day, that what I end up doing is looking into a mirror more than anything else. It speaks to me personally. So what I relate to you is what is said to me personally, and I'm not going to be hammering on somebody out there thinking I found somebody I'm going to pick on out in the sanctuary. It's what it's spoken to me, and it really makes me look at myself big time. And sometimes not so pleasant. So about what it is. But so we're going to start off this morning with the scripture. This morning is kind of unique, and it's the first place that we see Jesus using parables in the Gospel of Mark. Before this, he had spoke very plainly. He healed lepers. He healed the man with a crippled hand. He cast out an evil spirit. So it was all these actions, all these people had seen, all these actions that he had done. And so they started following him. This is a great guy. Look at all the stuff he can do. Drawn to him. So Jesus had to begin to speak in parables. And if you put up the screen there, a parable is something that goes alongside for the purpose of communicating a new understanding. So the people that day understood about farming, planting seeds, watching plants grow, and so forth. So this parable falls right into that thing about, you know, something they could understand, but it was a comparison for a new understanding. And a parable usually only makes one point so that people don't get confused and trying to read into a whole bunch of stuff. There's just one point that's trying to be made. And the parables usually start off with the words, "The kingdom of God is like." And that's the way it starts off kind of today. The kingdom of God is like. And it expresses what Jesus was trying to get across. And he does it in parables, and they build upon each other. I mean, we talked this week about sowing seeds, and next week there's a talk about the small seed and then the mustard seed. And so the parables build on themselves. And the parables this time, falls greatly this time of the year. I just had my yard aerated and seeded again. And I can promise you that I have seen seed fall on rocky ground, on thorns, and everywhere else, and some of it even grows. But this, I can understand this parable from the standpoint of seeds being sown. I think if I had been alive and heard this story, I would have been wondering, what in the world is Jesus talking about? I mean, he's been healing people, and all of a sudden he starts talking about planting seeds and you know, seeds falling on ground and how the seeds don't grow and all. So even the disciples didn't even understand what Jesus was talking about. So he had to pull them off to himself and try to explain the parable. And he makes it plain. He says, you know, if you can't understand this parable, then where are we going to go? So I got to explain it to you. What does planting seeds have anything to do with Jesus and his ministry? And I got to tell you, so you sit through Sunday school this morning and listen, there's been some things that have piled up on top of what I'd already written, so I'll try to keep my focus here. But Jesus tells his disciples and others that the key to the kingdom of God, there's a secret to the kingdom of God, but others who hadn't paid attention to the prophets or don't understand it or what the new kingdom is all about, and that's where I talked about in Sunday school this morning. We talked about Isaiah 53. He talks about the suffering servant, that he was despised and that ridiculed, and he was nothing to look at. And if you go back and read Isaiah 53, this is what Jesus is trying to get across. I have been come to be the servant of man, to die on a cross and to be raised again from the dead. But what the people had seen so far was this wonderful man who could heal people. So now he's going to start planning. This is what the new kingdom looks like, becoming a servant, not magic. Not magic, but this is what the kingdom of God will be like. So he's going to plant that seed, but the disciples didn't even understand it. So he pulls out verses in Isaiah, and those verses in Isaiah, I don't think I put those on the slide. I did not. So the verses in Isaiah, he says, you know, there's people who will see, but not hear, see, but not understand, and the people who hear will not understand. So what's he trying to say there? The people just don't get it. And then he says to the disciples, but you know the scripture. You should know the parable. And this is a little mystery to me because I don't know how the disciples at this point evidently had been schooled very much in the Old Testament, because in the Old Testament, it points to Jesus and the kind of kingdom he's going to bring. So he said, but you've been schooled in it. You know the scriptures. You ought to understand this parable. And if you don't, you're going to be in trouble because the parables are going to get more and more complex. And then they're going to build upon each other. So those verses in Isaiah are a little strange to read. But I want to read what Eugene Peterson says in his The Message. He paraphrased it this way. He says, but to those who can't see it yet, everything comes in stories, parables, creating readiness, nudging them to a welcoming awakening. So they don't understand and see yet, but if we keep telling parables and we keep thinking this is what the kingdom of God is like, we'll eventually get to the people to the point that they understand what's going on. So the kingdom of God, this parable just sets the stage. The kingdom is being revealed. Those who see but not perceive or hear and not understand, how will they understand the difficult ones to follow? So he's praying for open eyes and open ears to what he's actually saying. In fact, we know that as Jesus' life went along and the people didn't see this wonderful man who they thought was going to conquer the Romans and bring his earthly kingdom about, many, many fell away. He's actually on a boat outside of this crowd because he can't get close to them because there's so many people following at this point. But we know by the time that he was arrested and crucified, there were very few who followed him and would pick up for him because they still didn't understand what the kingdom of God was all about. So the parable is a simple parable. And it's easy because Jesus turned around and explained the parable to the disciples. So I could just say, read that, we're through, y'all can go home early, but I'm not going to let you off that early. So let's look at the four groups. There are people that hear the word, they don't pay attention to it, they don't believe it, and they don't really hear it. And so Satan snatches it out of their midst. And those people need to be prayed for great. It just disappears. Perhaps it never gets to their ears, or they don't want to hear it. So the seed never even has a chance to take root. The second group that we come across is the second group. Hears the word, and they receive it with great joy. But life's difficulties come up. Sickness, illness, financial problems, so forth, and all of a sudden their joy's gone. And you've heard people say, well, I prayed to God and I believed in Jesus, but he didn't help me any. Where was he? I kept looking for him and he never showed up. So the joy that they received when they first accepted God, accepted the word, is gone. The joy's gone and they fall away. The third group is the group that hears the word and they believe it, but they get get too caught up in worldly stuff. We get worried about our retirement plan? What about our homes and our cars? And what about the chance for advancement at work? We get so caught up in things of this world that we let the word kind of just drift off. And we don't pay attention to it. It's the weeds of life that capture us, and we don't pay attention to the word anymore. And the fourth group is the word that... The fourth group is the group that hears the word and allows the seeds to grow. That's the group I hope we all are aiming for. We hear the word, we accept it. The plants not only grow, but they produce good fruit. And not only does it produce good fruit, it produces much fruit. He said it produces 30, 60, 100 times of the seed that was planted. So this is a good story, and it's been explained, but I think we can look deeper into what it means for our lives. So let's go a little further. And the first statement I'll make is you can't plant seeds if you don't have seeds. Let me say that again. You can't plant seeds if you don't have seeds. So I know sitting here this morning, somebody's planted a seed in your life or you probably wouldn't be here. I can think of plenty of people that planted seeds in my life. And that seed has produced, hopefully will produce fruit. The word has been planted in your life. Did you allow God to grow it? Or did the seed just hit you and you say, okay, this is good, I've got this seed, or did you try to grow the fruit? Is it still growing? Is the fruit still growing? If you allow God to grow the seeds and the words in your life, he will allow it to grow and produce much fruit, and that produce more seeds. So it's a circle, it's a nice circle. So the seeds represent the word of God, and as we talked about in Sunday school this morning, the word is Jesus. So when you're planting seeds, you're planting the word of God, you're planting Jesus in people's lives. That's the purpose of planting the seeds. You're planting Jesus in people's lives. We have the advantage of the rest of the story. Jesus explains many parables to explain his kingdom and what is meant by the word, what we talked about. And since we already have that word, since we know what the word is, that the word is Jesus, we don't have an excuse. And we're living in a very fast-paced time where there's all kinds of ways that you can transmit ideas over the internet, through Facebook, and ideas travel back so much faster. A touch of a button, you can reach the other side of the world. So we have a lot more ways we can plant seeds, but I tell you, the best way to plant a seed is one-on-one, personally, with somebody. You don't have to be an evangelist. You don't have to have all the answers. Where you work, live, and play is a perfect field for you to plant seeds. And I can tell you, I've had a struggle with this all my life. Kathy will attest to this. We've seen young people that have come through this church who are now in missionaries in the field, who have gone out in full-time service. We had young people, young men and women who came from the seminary to serve as interns for a while. I looked at their lives, I said, well, they're fully serving God out in the field. And then it finally dawned on me with a lot of help and a lot of encouragement, a lot of prayer, I was planted in a field too. You don't have to be an evangelist. You don't have to be a missionary. You are in a field where you can plant seeds. You meet people every day who need to hear the word. How do you do it? Well, there's people who stand on the corner with a bullhorn, shouting, reading scriptures, telling people if they don't accept Jesus, they're going to go to hell and burn. There's people who do it that way. And we hear that in our modern day thing, we're kind of taken back a little bit by that. It kind of offends us. But as the men's Bible study we're studying this week, talking about John the Baptist, he was out in the wilderness. Was he not the guy with the bullhorn screaming, repent, for the kingdom of God is near? So maybe it reaches some people. We pray that it does. But I can tell you that there's other ways you can do. I appreciate Melissa this morning talking about how the deacons reach out to the community. That's sowing seeds in our community by reaching out and helping people when they need it, by being there when people and those seeds will grow. We'll get to about how they grow in a minute, but there's always ways that you can plant seeds. You can be a listening ear. Be willing to listen. Somebody smile at somebody and say good morning or good afternoon. Or when you go to the grocery store and you go through and you can tell the clerk's having a bad time, just smile at him and say thank you for what you're doing. You know, those little seeds get planted. That's what Jesus, thank you for what you're doing. You're a servant, and I appreciate your service. You never know. And then somebody comes up to you and shares they're having a difficult time. It's sometimes difficult to say, hey, can I pray for you? And some people will say, well, and they don't want to pray right then, so well, I'm going to pray for you later. And they still might neglect that. But then later that seed may come back around. They were praying for me. That seed gets planted whether we know it or not, or whether we understand it. The seed's planted. Now, let me just say that you can be very discouraged when you plant seeds because you don't know whether the seeds are going to fall on rocky soil, but we don't know God's timing. We certainly don't know how that seed's going to grow. Will that seed ever produce fruit? And I'm sure Paul and all the disciples probably got discouraged when they weren't seeing any fruit, but they pressed on. The seeds you plant may not produce fruit immediately, but I mean, you think about an acorn when it falls on the ground. The acorn gets planted, gets in the dirt, but you don't come out the next day and have a mighty oak tree. It may grow very slowly. You may not ever see how that seed gets planted. So Paul addressed this in 1 Corinthians 3. I'll give you a little background before I read that scripture. There was, growing up in that church, there was a great conflict that had grown between two groups of people who said, oh, I'm a disciple of Paul's. And the other one saying, no, I'm a disciple of Apollos, and we're right and you're wrong, and Paul was right and you're wrong and you're right. And Paul's addressing his division and saying, hey, wait a minute. He says, when you do this, you turn out, you look worldly. You're just like mere men. He said, let's address this. So starting in verse 5, he said, what after all is Apollo? And what is Paul? Is Paul talking about himself? Only servants. That when you came to believe as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed. Apollo watered it. But here's the key. God made it grow. So knew that he who plants, no he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's fields. God is building. So I think that dovetailed right away into the planting of seeds that Jesus was talking about. I do want to point out that it's a little discouraging. It says, you know, Paul was not saying that those who plant and water seeds aren't important. I think his point was here that if you plant a seed and you plant it to grow, don't pat yourself on the back. If you see something happen, don't act like you can take credit for something that's coming into somebody's life. God gets all the credit for that. God's the one that makes that seed grow. So don't be too conceited about it. And another caution I would hear is don't be too judgmental about the soil that you're sowing seeds in. Don't look at the soil and say, oh, that's rocky ground, I'm not going to waste my time. Or, those people are tangled up in all kinds of stuff, and they're not going to be interested in what God has to say to them. Don't be judgmental. Plant the seed, let God grow it. God will figure out that's the kind of soil that needs to be cultivated. That's God's job. So again, Robert will be speaking in the next couple of weeks about seeds, mustard seeds, and tiny seeds, and how they grow into mighty, mighty trees. Tiny seeds, the tiny seed, and I won't go into his sermon because I don't want to mess it up for him, but a little tiny seed that you can barely see grows into a great big tree. So your tiny seed that you plant in the rich soil will grow into a mighty tree. The rest of the section that we read this morning is verses 21 through 25, and it's further instructions to the disciples. He said to them, don't hide your light under a bushel. You don't have a light to hide under a bushel. You need to let it show. So he's saying that you plant seeds everywhere you go. That love, that understanding you have of the love of Christ, everywhere you need to go, don't hide it. You need to show it to everybody and everything you come across. Whatever they hear and understand, they have to pass it on. He wasn't telling the disciples, he wasn't instructing the disciples and the people something so they could say, oh, I get it, and then just keep it to themselves. It was something to be shared. It was good news. We haven't heard the good news of Jesus Christ, so we can keep it to ourselves. It's not a secret. The good news isn't given for self-consumption. It's meant to be shared. And the more it's shared, the more God becomes the center of our lives, and the more we will understand and be given more opportunities to share. It's the thing where you plant seeds. The seeds grow up, produce fruit. The fruit produces more seeds, and so forth and so forth. It's a circular thing. Here are three takeaways. Are the things of this world choking out the seeds that have been planted in your life? That's the one that's dangerous for me. Too concerned about worldly things that is choking out the seed. Are you allowing God to produce more fruit in your life by studying, praying, meditating, and obeying so that you will allow those seeds to sow, those seeds to grow? You can't grow them on your own. God will grow them, and he gives you all kinds of ways to do it. The best way is reading and understanding and praying over his word. That will make the seed grow. Are you sowing seeds in the field you live in? Everybody's been given a mission field. All of us have, no matter where we are. It may be your neighborhood, your job, your school. We're all in a mission field. And the third is, you holding up the light of Christ for all to see, or are you hiding it under a basket? Those are tough questions to ask, but it's questions we need to ask ourselves every day. So go out today. Remember that you're planting seeds, that the word of God, that Jesus will grow in people's lives. May God bless the reading and hearing of this word. Thank you. Amen.